Welcome to Clan Chat, our weekly show where we find out what's happened to former players and what they've been up to since they wore the famous purple. Before I introduce our special guest, let's bring back those regular faces. And on the top left-hand corner of your screen is the voice of the clan himself, Kevin McCroskey. Kevin, describe your week in three words.
Busy, busy, busy.
There we go. The same word three times. Bottom left-hand corner, making a triumphant return to us this week, is, of course, the clan captain himself. It is Matt Haywood. Matt, how are you getting on? How's the family?
Yeah, we're getting back to normal now. I'm sure everyone's seen that Jenny's been through the ringer a bit, so everything's getting back to normal, and they're just trying to settle down before this second lockdown's going to hit.
Yep, as we record, it is Tuesday night. Lockdown will be started by the time this goes out, of course. But send a love to Jenny. Glad that she's getting a lot better. And our special guest, bottom right-hand corner, there he's there. I've got a bit of a list here, so let's go. 3 years with Nottingham Panthers, 2 years with Brayhead Clan, as it was. The only Clan player to score more than 100 points in a season. Scored a goal for Belfast Giants against the Boston Bruins. Yes, the Boston Bruins. An Elite League Player of the Year in 2011-12, well with the Clan, and is the record holder for the most beers consumed in a night. Have I missed anything, Jade?
Well, that's the most beers drank in every year that I played in the East.
Ah,
East,
I see, East, right, so, okay. Yeah. Jade, good to have you with us. Oh, we've lost him. I'm sure he's still there.
No, it's this thing here. give me 1 second, 1 second.
Oh, there we go. See, he's well seen me to cut this as live, isn't it? Yeah, good to see Jade, isn't it, guys? Let's talk about Jade while he's talking. Here he comes.
Phone's dying, that's why.
Oh, there we go. He didn't think to charge his phone, never mind.
Yeah, we're going to do it here, buddy.
Good. Jade, great to have you on board, of course. How have you been through what's been a very strange year for all of us this year?
Well, just like anybody, it's been nuts the last, 6 months. Like, I just looked on the ECHL or EIHL website, and I saw that you guys aren't having a season. So I was like, wow, this is everywhere. Because here, the last month, there's been no hockey for kids as well. So it's just been a pain in the butt for everything lately. It's just people not taking it seriously. And with that, it's ruining everything. So I think, I think coming, you guys are doing a lockdown in all of Britain.
It's kind of different.
Yeah, I mean, as we speak, there's a lockdown in England right now, which is ongoing till the end of the month, and in Scotland, some regions are locking down as this has gone out. So, yeah, I mean, it's affecting everywhere, really. So you're absolutely right. So, Jade, we'll talk about more things through the course of this chat, but a basic reflection on your time at the Clan. What moments or memories stick out for you from your 2 years with the club?
Well, there's so many, like, a lot of the on ice stuff. We were at that line where we could have been great, but a few things here, a few things there. I think the one playoffs when we played Nottingham, going to Nottingham up 3 goals, I think that is one of the things that I was so proud but yet so angry that we couldn't pull it off. Playing in Nottingham is impossible, especially in the playoffs. So I knew it was going to be tough, but that's something I think about all the time. Is if we could have beat them, I know we could have made it to the finals and then possibly, shocked the league. So that's something I think back a lot on. And a lot of the times, just hanging out with the guys, like, we all live pretty close together. It was just really fun. We were always together. It was always, hockey was first and foremost, but the things we did off the ice, just helped us together. It was just so much fun.
And I'm sure things you did off the ice might crop up during the course of this chat. So Kevin, when you think back to the special players that this club's seen over the last 10 years, in your opinion, where does Jade stand among those players?
I think Jade will probably understand why I'm making this distinction, but I think in that first season, Jade was with the Clan. He was definitely the most, in my opinion, the most naturally gifted player we've ever seen in a Clan jersey. And And on his day, I think he was, he showed time and time again he was capable of winning matches almost single-handedly. At times he was totally unplayable for the opposition. That first season, superbly entertaining, absolutely fantastic to watch. And I think, to be honest, that season from Jade remains the standout season of any one player in 10 seasons of the clan so far.
Matt, when you think back to when Jade signed, I recall it being a bit of a coup, I think, to bring a player like Jade in. He was putting in the points for Nottingham Panthers. As a guy who went on to play for him, what was it like knowing that he was coming to the club with the calibre that he had?
Well, I actually met Jade 2 or 3 years before he actually signed for the team. I was in Canada with Corey Nielsen and a couple of Nottingham boys, Robert Lakovic and Stevie Lee, and Jade, obviously very good friends with Corey, and he came over to do this camp with us for a few weeks, and that's when I first met Jade. So I knew exactly what we were getting. I knew him from playing against him in Nottingham, and then for us to sign a guy like Jade was amazing, because he was the first guy that had like real league experience that we'd signed who had been proven over here. So you kind of knew what you were getting. He was the first one that you knew what you were going to get, and he more than delivered, especially that first season.
So, Jade, what was the secret to your success? I mean, you put up a lot of points, and you had 5 years in the UK, not just your 2 years with the clan, of course. Well, you know, was the ability to read the play, was it more to do with the understanding of your line mates? What would you have put that down to?
Well, in the EHL, I think line mates are huge, especially when you play with a top-tier team like a Nottingham, a Brayhead, Cardiff. The lower-end teams, it was harder for them to get, you know, high-end players just because nobody knows who they are. You know, they haven't seen it. The league was it's not the same as it is now with the Champions League and all that stuff. The league, I see, you know, a lot more, if being in Canada, a lot more exposure to the league. So I think when we played back then, it was, if you had a couple good line mates that you trusted and you played well with, it can make your career. Because again, the bottom end talent in the EHL was tough. It was younger guys that were breaking through, playing at 16, 15, 16 years old. And in any other professional league, that would never happen. So it was good for Matty, you know, and those guys, Robert Lakovic and all those guys, to play at a young age, because it helped them develop huge in British hockey, like to where they are now, playing in the top league in the World Championships. All of that is because they got to play professional at such a young age. But as a guy that was a little bit older, and you know, the top two lines were really good, and then the third line was kind of, you know, not as well. Is if you had those good players, like I played with Jordan for the 2 years there, we got on like gangbusters. We just read each other. We just had fun. And I think if you ask Matty, having fun with your line mates is the most important thing, right? You play, even if you're playing with not such a good player, if you three are on the same page all the time, knowing where each other are, it doesn't matter how skilled you are. If you can play as a unit, you're going to do tremendously well in any league. But I thought the first year we're playing with Jordan, and we played with Tim Mitchell, right? Was it? Yeah, Mitch. It was Mitch.
Pretty Lee sure. Mitchell.
Yeah, Lee Mitchell. Sorry. Yeah. And, you know, he just came in, and he was such a great guy as well. It's just, that's the thing, is you find comfortability in hockey. That's why the best tandems are always together their whole careers, because they get along so well. It's not necessarily they're the best players. It's just they get along so well together. So I think the first year for sure, playing with Jordan, and you could put anybody with us, but we just got along so well, and that really helped me thrive and, you know, do what I did that year.
I was going to say, I was going to say it was all down to like hard work and back checking and stuff like that.
Well, you know me, I'm all about hard work, Matty, so you know that, buddy.
Now, I was curious about the timing of you signing, Jade, because you had 3 years at Nottingham Panthers, and if anybody looks at your stats on Elite Prospects, you know, you seem to increase every year with the amount of points you were getting every season. You were getting into a Panthers team that were at the time starting to be really successful, so the timing of the move I thought was quite strange. So why did you decide that A, leaving the Panthers was the right move for you, and that B, coming to Bray Head was the right move?
Well, really, it was. Me and Corey, after the season was over, we just looked at each other and said, hey, we had 3 years to do it. You know, maybe we just need something else. You know, I was going to go to Sheffield, to tell you the truth, right off the bat. But then just talking with Mr. Black and Gary a little bit too. Well, Gary really didn't have any say in it, but I was mostly just Mr. Black said, you know, Brayhead, you're going to get all the opportunities. And, you know, I knew Jordan was there, and Ryan Campbell was there too. I knew him from before. So, you know, just some familiarity. Again, if I would have went to Sheffield right after Nottingham, it would have been a brutal, I know I don't care about fans. I really don't give a shit what they say, but going there would have been tough. Cause I do have a lot of friends in Nottingham, you know, I know that they know that going to another team doesn't mean that you don't like the organization or anything like that. I think it was just good to get away and start something with a new club. They were up and coming. So I thought that going there would have been the better choice. But believe me, David Sims called me every day for a week. So he wasn't very happy when I went there, but it worked out well. I was happy to go. Great place. And it's great to see, you know, where, you know, Maddie started and when I got there the second year or third year or whatever, how good it is now, how talented they are, how well they do in the league now. It's just, it's another Nottingham pretty much. So to be a part of that at the start was awesome.
And Kevin, Jade was a player that really captured the fans' imagination. You spoke about this impact that he had, and that was exactly right. The fans really got on board with everything he did on the ice, didn't they?
Yeah, I mean, fans like to see exciting players. Fans like to see goals. Fans like to see good playmakers. And Jade was doing all of those things when he came to the Clan. So, you know, yeah, the fans, and as Matty touched on earlier, the fans were also looking for heroes. You know, the club was still a very young club. We were only in, you know, our infancy. And to bring a player who had been seen as one of the best players in the league the previous season and previous couple of seasons, actually, to bring probably the best or most productive forward in the league to our club, our fledgling club, was seen as a massive thing. And I think there was a real kind of, it was a huge, I think that put a huge expectation on Jade, but I think he really delivered on it. But the fans really bought into it, and they loved the entertainment. Jade was giving it back to them in spades. So, yeah, it was a great year.
And Matt, playing alongside Jade, you know, given the age you were at the time, was he a player that you learned a lot from in his couple of years with the club? And I mean on the ice.
Well, both. I can't tell a few stories that I know about Jade off the ice, but Yeah, obviously, he was kind enough to pull me aside and give me some tips, especially offensively, because right from season one, I was always concentrating on being a good defensive player. That's how the Brits get to play in this league, is to be solid and not concede, and then you can start adding a few strings to your bow. And Jade really took the time out, and because I knew him from before, and he was teaching me how to play two-on-ones and just little tips that he'd learned. And obviously, there's no better person to know how to make a pass than Jade. And I think that's what makes him so special, is because he saw things that not many people could see. Like, he could stand in that bottom corner of the rink with his ass against the boards and pass it to whoever he wanted to pass it to.
No, we'll talk more.
Never
about
you, though. Never.
Well, I was never on the ice with you, mate. Don't worry about that.
That's the funny thing, Matty. You're playing so well now. If it was back in the day, we would have won a lot more games if you were as skilled as you are now that back then. But it took you forever to get there.
Just
kidding, buddy.
Yeah. my bad.
Now, I think as good as you were on the ice, Jade, of course, I think a lot of people remember the social side of you. I don't think it would be right to not have you on this pod and talk about that. You liked the nightlife in Glasgow, didn't you?
Yeah, Well, I liked the nightlife anywhere back then. I don't know. I liked it because you get away. You don't have to worry about that side of hockey. As Maddie will tell you, I always say it's the easiest hard job you'll ever have. Like, you have to produce, you have to perform, or people are all over you, right? Whenever you're doing well, hockey's the best sport, best game, easiest game you'll ever play when things are going great. But when they're not going good, you know, it's the exact opposite. People are on you, you know, and you're not doing enough, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, after you're done on the ice, like, especially me, I was either really high or really low. So to get out and to go, you know, do my thing was a way that I used to cope with that stuff. Right or wrong, I did it. No regrets. But, yeah, definitely probably shouldn't have done it as much as I did.
I'll say this. He was never a guy that would drink the day before a game or something like that. He would always do it whenever he had a day off, or, do you know what I mean? Like, he wasn't stupid with it. I know guys that have been stupid with it, and Gabby was never one of those guys. Like, he would maybe turn up to practice hungover, but you could never tell once he was on the ice. Like, he was always the hardest working guy for himself on the ice. But you could always tell. You could always tell if he was drinking the night before, because you wouldn't see him, and then he'd just come out of the shower 5 minutes before.
He'd take a chance. That's how I woke up, man. I love showers, so before practice, you wouldn't see me. Leave me alone. Let me get my stuff on, get woken up, and then I usually are right after that.
You'd take a chair into the shower and sit on the chair.
Shut up. Well, I was tired. I couldn't stand for that half hour. Yeah, well, everybody has their things to get them motivated. So that was a coffee and a nice hangover half hour shower on a chair.
And then he'd go on the ice.
What are you drinking there? Vodka?
Straight vodka, yeah. Just in...
Yeah, it's a little vodka, hey?
Yeah.
It's usually tea. To be fair.
Yeah, I didn't have time today. Yeah.
Oh.
Two bath times really take the night away from you.
It's true.
So, Jade, of course. Sorry, Kevin, on you go.
Jade, I was just going to ask you, you mentioned there the sort of highs and lows of hockey, and we've talked a lot about your first season and what a great season that was. The second year, the club, to me, was going through quite a lot of turmoil. You know, we had a huge turnover of players, with changes and, you know, disruption in the coaching setup as well.
Yeah.
And that seemed to affect a lot of people around the club. And obviously, if you were looking purely at point production, the evidence is there that it affected you quite a lot as well. What do you think were the big differences between season one and season two for you?
It wasn't even close. It was totally my fault why Jordan got fired. I talked to Craig already about it. I just was out of control. Like, I was just in a bad way. I didn't give a shit about hockey. Didn't give a shit about anything. I don't know why. I can't give you a reason why I went through that. It was just I was in a bad way. I wasn't happy. I wasn't fun to be around. Maddie could tell you, I just wasn't myself. And then I had a little injury in my back, and I didn't work hard enough to get back. And it just was one of those years where everything that could have went wrong, and I didn't help it. Definitely didn't help it. It was totally, you know, I always take the praise when things are going great. You know, I totally admit when I'm playing well, I'm the best player out there or one of them. And that season, we could have done a lot of good things. We had a great team, and I just totally melted. No excuses. I'm not blaming it on anything but myself. It was just bad form for me. Like, I just didn't feel good. I hated hockey. I hated the person I was. It was bad. It was, after that year, it was one of the worst years of hockey I've ever played, statistically and off the ice. And it really made me look in the mirror at what I wanted to do with my life. So it was something that woke me up, definitely woke me up. I kind of tried to get away from hockey a little bit after that, and then I ended up retiring the next year. So it was one of those things that it just, I can't really tell you why, Kevin, but it was one of those things that I went through it and I didn't do it the right way. I didn't ask for help. I didn't talk about it. You know, I buried it away and I tried to do it myself. And when you go through that kind of stuff, you got to ask for help and you got to, you know, bring people in. And if people know me, I'm not a guy that, you know, lets people in for anything. You know, I party and have fun and I did that, all that. But my personal life was never, ever talked about. So it was just one of those things where it was a perfect storm. It was terrible. And, you know, talking about it and getting it, airing it out has helped me, you know, not regret it as much. Can't have any regrets, but that was one of the main regrets of a hockey season that I've ever had.
It's curious, you brought that up, Kevin, that season. I mean, we all saw what happened with the season. And as I recall, Jade, it started off, I think there was a delay with your visa, which would have frustrated you a little bit. You were obviously keen to get over it and get started again. What was that like in those first couple of weeks?
Well, the if you guys remember, I had like 12 goals in the first six games. So I was on a sick tear to start the year. But yeah, I was working out hard I don't work out at all. And I was in good shape. I was skating with a couple NHL buddies of mine and I felt great. And then the visa got denied and then we did it again. It got denied. I don't know. The British visa process is the worst I've ever seen, ever. The questions that they ask you, like, have you gone to a convenience store in the last 72 hours? Like, it's the stupidest thing I've ever seen. So doing all those questions, I'm trying to think of, you know, if I said the same thing the last time, and it just was one of those things I was just like fed up. And I told Jordan, I'm like, just get me one, a 6 month visa or whatever. We'll figure it out because I'm not doing this again. So right off the bat, I was pissed off. But when I got there, things were great. If you remember, Maddie, I had like 17 points in the first like eight games, 12 goals. Like it was awesome. And then I don't know what happened. It just U-turn. And then next thing you know, I don't have a point like five games, and that's never happened to me in any league I've ever played. So yeah, it was just everything about that year was tough, but you know, it is what it is.
Matt, yeah, I remember starting off that year really well as a team. Like we were pushing third, fourth in the league, and then I remember Ryan Watt got a really bad injury, and then it kind of just snowballed. I think like we have Zemlak that year as well. He got injured, and it just I think we went to Belfast or something with like 10 guys at one point. And it's just like it was just a nightmare. Guys were like playing 40 minutes a night and stuff. Yeah, I remember it was we had a great core of people. We just didn't have the depth to handle it. Like these days it's a four line league, maybe not next year because what's just happened, but it's a four line league now. It's like a fourth line now could play against the second line back eight, 9 years ago. So it was tough, and it was tough the fact that we dropped a few Brits. We obviously dropped our starting goalie, and then Jade was, like he said, he was going through a bad time, and everyone was going through a bad time. I remember being that year thinking, just get me through it. So I think it's one of them years where you just, nothing against anybody, just one of the things, like you just going into games thinking, like hoping you were going to win, not making sure you were going to win. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. I agree, Matty. It was those games where you just didn't want to get blown out. It was just, and before,
not like you're going to go to lose, but you didn't have that edge where you're like, how many are we going to win by? It was like, oh, please let us win tonight. So yeah, I think there was no confidence. And
as a professional athlete, if you go into a game thinking that, I don't care how good you are, you're never going to win. Yeah, it's just, it doesn't work that way.
No.
I've got to ask, obviously, Jordan was the coach at that time, and there was a change later on, which we'll come to. Knowing Jordan as well as you both did, were you both concerned for him about the toll this was maybe taking on him? I seem to remember, you know, whenever I caught up with you guys post-game downstairs, you could visibly see that it was taking a bit of a toll on him. He just wasn't the same guy. What was it like, you know, working with him and that kind of worry that you may have had for him at the time?
You want to go, Matty?
Yeah, I think he was going through a lot of personal stuff too. I think did he have his kid that year as well and stuff?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah,
it was a tough year for him. Like he had a lot on his plate. Plus, it was his first year coaching, and like I said, everything was going rosy at first, and then all those injuries happen, and he can't get guys in like he could do in different leagues and stuff, and he can't call younger Brits up and stuff because of contracts with other like leagues, and it's just pretty much a nightmare scenario for a new coach, and throw in a newborn baby and stuff as well. It's just a recipe for disaster.
That's another thing is even when I was there and everything was going to hell, I'd always never talk to him. Like, we never talked to each other, which was stupid. Like, friends should talk through that. But as a coach, he wanted to be the coach, right? And totally to his credit, he did a great job. Everything just didn't come together. Like, the team didn't come together as well as it could be, mostly because of me. But again, it was his first year. Like, I don't care what league or where you're coaching, if you're coaching an Adam or a Pee Wee team, it's a tough job. It's time demanding, especially with a kid and a family over there too in another country. It's all fun and games when you're playing, right? Going to the game, get to go home and not have to worry about it. But when you're losing, especially as a losing coach, and things are going to hell, no fault of his own, but I wanted to apologize to him. I've done it a million times to him just to say that, you know, you got to help somebody when that happens. And, you know, being a good friend through last year and knowing him through, you know, pro and all that stuff back in the States and Canada, it just, I never helped him. I don't know about anybody else, but I never really sat down, talked with him, asked him what he needed. And as a coach, it's, you know, you're a coach, you're over the guys, that's your job. But on the other hand, you got to converse with them and see what's wrong, what's right, and try to help. And we just had no communication. And especially sports nowadays, like the amount of, like, I do a little coaching sessions with Bantam AAA team, and they have a physical or a mental therapist. They have places you can go, you need to talk, like all of that stuff. And that's Bantam AAA. That's not even pro. So, like, to see that at such a young age, and you know, as adults, we didn't do it. It's tough. And you know, Jordan did the best he could. He did a lot better than anybody than I would ever expected anybody else to do. So, it was just it's just tough season, tough situation, and definitely something that if I could go back, that would be my one. That'd probably be my one season that I would go back and change. All the other ones, you know, whatever. But that one was mostly my fault. So I think that if I could have gone back, I would. But there's no fault of Jordan's what happened. That's for sure.
Right. I'm going to ask you this one, Jay. That might be a bit of a sore point with you because we've spoke about it before. Paul Gardner, I know you didn't get along with him. You've been quite upfront with that. Why didn't you get with him? Where was the conflict between you?
Like I said right off the bat, I was in a bad way. So everything was me off at some point or another. And I don't know, if Matt, you remember, well, we did about three drills a practice. That's it. He had three drills. We never worked on anything. His knowledge of the game, even for coaching in the NHL, I thought was very, very poor. We never did anything. Like, I don't know. It just, it really bothered me. And plus, nothing to him. I was just I didn't care about anything. I was just an absolute one of those. And I probably didn't give him a chance. But, like, to be a coach to come in and have all this praise and everything, I thought that he just didn't know the game. Like, you can play the game and not know it. I know a million guys that played in the NHL that don't know the game. But when he came there, it just... there was no atmosphere. Like, I don't know. It was just one of those things. We just did not get along at all. I have nothing against the guy off the ice, but as a coach, man, I thought that he wasn't good.
I'll do a counter argument there. Just to say, I want to say for him coming into that situation must have been tough, and you can't just come into a new group and just say, I want to do things this, and this, especially a group that was hurting like ours was hurting. He wouldn't have got a good response. So I think making it as fun as he could do was probably pretty smart for him to do for the rest of the season. And if he got the job again, maybe we would have seen a different Paul Gardner, like, tactically. Because look at him his German record after us. Like, he took Frankfurt. Was it Frankfurt he was at for a while?
Yeah.
His teams have done very well. Tilburg won the league like 4 or 5 times.
I totally agree. It's just, you know, when you don't get along with somebody, you don't see the same way. So, nothing against him at all. But we just didn't get along, and it showed. And maybe if I saw him on the street, we could chat and everything would be fine. But as of now, it's just, I have so many bad memories of that time, mostly because he took Jordan's job when I know it was my fault. So that really kind of irked me as well. But like Maddie said, it's a different situations at different times. He's totally correct. But like I said, I don't like him, probably never will. But that being said, he probably doesn't like me, never will either. So I can live with that, and I'm sure he can too.
Welcome back to Clan Chat, and our special guest is here with us, Jade Galbraith, in the top left-hand corner. Jade, good to have you back again. Kevin at the bottom. No Matt Haywood for this part. I'm afraid Matt can't make it for the second half. Talking about your time with the Clan, Jade, of course, a great couple of years we had. We ended in the first part talking about Paul Gardner. But also that season, Drew Miller played for the club for 3 months. What was it like playing with him?
Oh, it's great. Anytime you get a long-time NHLer on your club, you can only learn and take from his experience. Drew was a great guy, awesome, happy to be here. Obviously did really well. Had to change his role a bit. Playing in the NHL, he was more of a fourth-line penalty killer. To come here and put up as many goals as he did really well to change it up. But yeah, great guy. Loved being here, which was awesome. He never thought he was better than anybody else, which was awesome to see. I've known a lot of NHL players, and they some of them have that ego that they are better than you. But when he came here, he was awesome. Never once did I feel threatened or below him. Like just a genuine good guy. And, he did well for us. And then he went on to a great NHL career like he had already before he came.
Now, we talked about what Matt learned from the likes of you coming into the club. What do you feel Matt learned from someone like Drew, despite the short time he was here for?
Well, yeah, absolutely. Like, even a guy like me or Jordan that played, you know, almost the top levels, played with tons of NHL players, you know, went to camps, did all that. Even for guys like us to see a guy that's playing in the NHL every day, you know, a certain role, a good killer, you know, a heart and soul guy, to see him come here and you know, be the same guy. It was awesome. And guys like Matty, who play that role when he was younger, second, third line guy, killing penalties, playing on the defensive side of the puck. I thought, you know, I can't attest to what he saw from him, but I can guarantee it was only good things. And he always went for lunch with the guys after. Anything you wanted to ask him, you asked him. Anything you needed, he was always there. It was he was just a great, great guy. His family, his wife was here as well. Same thing. Anything you needed, they were always there. It was really, really nice to see him come in and be as well liked and as professional as he did.
Kevin, we've talked about the negatives of that year. I know you're just going to come in with something there, but the core of the guys that were there, the likes of Jade, Drew Miller, there was still a great bunch of guys there. And at times, it's hard to figure out why it just didn't go right for us that year.
It is, but I think also, you know, we've brought the Drew Miller story into it, and a lot of people look back actually quite fondly on that season, and you hear a lot of people talking about the Drew Miller season because, you know, it was such a big story for the club to have Drew with us. But if I remember right, it was also our first Gardner Conference winning season.
Yeah.
I think it just been introduced that year.
Yep.
So although, you know, we got into the kind of gloom and doom and the depths of despair talking about it there, there were actually a few highlights in the year as well. It wasn't a total write-off of a season. It did have some good memories for the fans. We mentioned, we talked about Drew Miller there. I just wanted to ask Jade about another Drew, because we've spoken a lot about the coaching situation in your second year, Jade, but obviously Drew Bannister was the coach the year you joined the club. How did you find Drew's style of coaching when you came versus perhaps Corey Nielsen's that you've been used to at Nottingham?
Well, that's the thing. I talked to Drew to this day. I talked to him the other day. We were just talking about the season, if it was going to start. And I keep in touch with him. We talk all the time. I want to get into coaching at a high level at some point. I know I'm young still. I'm only 38 years old. So I know I have some time to put in and whatnot. But we talk all the time. And to this day, he still is the best coach that understood me. You know what I mean? He was a guy. He played in the NHL. Played in Germany. We played against each other in Germany. He knows the game. Obviously, he's a coach in the AHL right now. Had some offers as assistant coaches in the NHL even. And he will be an NHL coach. So to learn from that, but it wasn't really all the stuff, Kevin, that he brought. It was just that he understood me. He brought me in. He said, Jade, I don't care what you do off the ice. There's two rules. When we go to practice, you work. No drinking, obviously, before games. Always give your best. I don't care what you do off the ice. If you come and do these things, we're going to get along well. And just for him to just come up and say that to me, when all the other coaches, they say, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, blah, 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 blah. It was always can't. He kind of came and just said, you know, you've done well. Like, I don't want to change your game. You're a highly skilled guy. You're leading the league every year. You're doing well. I don't want to change that, but we do need to get some ground rules. And for him to just come up as a man and just to say that to me right off the bat, I thought it was shocking. I'd never had it in all my years of hockey. A guy come up and say, hey, we know your problems off the ice and you know, work ethic. If you can just do these two things, I don't mind whatever you do. I know you need time to blow off. And Kevin, it was one of those things that we just mutually understood each other right from the start. I would have went through a wall for him just for him saying that. So for him to say that and the way things went, it was awesome. It couldn't have had a better guy coach me that year.
I was just going to say, Craig, if we roll it back to Corey Nielsen as well, Jade, obviously you were a teammate of Corey's, I think, in the East Coast. Was it Pensacola? You were in the same team?
Yeah.
How did you find that? Obviously, he would have been a buddy of yours, teammate, and then when you came to the UK, he was your head coach. What was that kind of relationship like?
Yeah, it was me and Corey are friends, best friends. I love him to death. We still talk here and there. I know he's in Germany right now. I played in that league a little bit before, so we chatted a little bit about it, how he's coaching there. He's doing well with the national program, all that stuff. Corey's a great coach. He knows the game well. Some people find him a little Wally, get out of there. Sorry. Some people find him a little tough to get, dry humor, but he's one of those guys that he's only there to help. Like, he's never going to be negative. He's never going to throw you under the bus. We've had some things where I've been an idiot and he's had to tell me, hey, our friendship is our friendship. This is your profession, blah, blah, blah. So that came up a few times, but Corey was the best friend coach I ever had. Like, because we did get along, we saw the game the same way. We see it in offensive situations. We always want to attack, that kind of thing. And you know, when we played together, we were buddies too. Loved to gamble, loved cards on the bus, that kind of thing. So we were always together. And you know, it's tough to come to a place and then have a good buddy be the coach, because again, there is a, you know, like with me and Jordan, it was, you don't talk as much as you used to. You know, there's things that are, you know, it's just an unwritten rule, like for me to go up and just start chatting with them on the bus and stuff like that. You just don't do that with the coaches. So that on the other side, but we made it work. I never, ever had a problem with Corey as a coach, as a person, ever. I loved him to death. He gave me a lot of leeway on a lot of times, but like I said, it was a different, Kevin, a little bit different as I knew Corey for years and we were buddies. Me and Drew just had that respect right off the bat. We weren't great friends. It wasn't like I called him after games or anything, but we had that, you know, unspoken, you know, friendship. But Corey was a little different, but still both nurtured me into the player I was positively. You know, the negative stuff was all me. It was not because of anybody else, but positively they shaped me into the person I was and am now, actually.
Good. So when you look back on your time with the Clan, you'll be aware of the Wall of Fame banner that's up there. You've never been able to see it, sadly. You've never
no,
seen to make it back. But what's it like knowing you've got that there as a reminder of your time at the club and the esteem in which you were held from your time here?
There's no words. Like I had a couple of buddies, Jared Allen, good buddy of mine that played Manchester a few years ago or whatever. He gave me a message when he saw it and he was laughing and we had a good chuckle over it. But I always snicker and laugh, but inside I'm very proud. Like that's one person in a year that's going to be there until I die, hopefully. Something that if I do have kids, I'd love to show them, you know, be proud of that. There's a lot that I'm not proud of in my career, but having that, I'm definitely proud. The people Bray had doing that, you know, it makes me feel very good. I'll catch myself looking on the clan websites and stuff just to catch a glimpse of it, just, you know, to remind me of the good times and of hockey and you know, the people that were there. It was just, it's something that I'll treasure for the rest of my life. Absolutely.
Now, another one of your good buddies came to play for us, Shane Lust. Shane came to play with us for a year. How much influence did you have on his move to Glasgow?
Well, we talked because I was going to come back and we were going to play. We were just chatting back and forth. And then long story short, I said, you got to go 100%. Lusty's a great, great guy, great hockey player, a lot of potential, can score at will. So I knew that Brayhead would definitely would thrive with him in the lineup. I know Maddie and him became really good buddies. Because that's the way Shane is. He's just such a great guy, happy guy. But when he talked about possibly going to Brayhead, I say, you got to go. You're going to love it. He's got the same energy as me. He's always happy, loves meeting people. So I knew the Brayhead, the fan base would take him in, and I know they did. So it was great, a great decision for him and a no-brainer for me.
I remember when I got in touch with you last year to do the wee video you did for Matt's testimonial, that and among many others that I got together. And I think you bumped into Shane right about that time. And I think Shane had told you he was coming over. How jealous were you?
I was pretty, just to hear that Maddie had a testimonial, I was just like, holy cow, how old am I getting? Like, this is crazy. So when I heard that, I knew Maddie was going to have one. He's a British British hockey has got to be one of the top guys, you know, and he's only going to get better. They're going to do better in the World Championships. He's going to bring some kids up, you know, mentor them I hope I did to some of them. But what was I getting on? What were you talking about? Sorry, I lost my train of thought.
Matt's testimonial and Shane coming over.
Yeah, Shane. Sorry, I was getting off topic. Well, I saw him at the rink, actually. He was skating, and I was doing my shooting. I do shooting analysis for kids. That's the company I just started as well. So I was there, and I just saw him, and we just got back. I hadn't seen him in a couple of years, so it was nice to reminisce. And about Maddie, it was a good conversation.
Excellent. So we spoke so much about your time in Brayhead. I'll put a couple of things to you. We asked for some questions and a couple of memories. A guy called Gareth Yule on the Clan Facebook page says, Jade, best player we have had. Remember watching him when he played for Nottingham and thought, what a fantastic dirty player. I'd love to have him play for Brayhead. I don't know what he means by dirty. Next season it happened and he said that you were great to watch. And Ryan Dock is asking, what's your record for the amount of chicken wings polished off in one sitting?
I don't know. Chicken wings in England aren't the same as over here. Over here, they're a little smaller, so you can get a whole bunch more in. I'd say about 5 pounds. So that'll be about probably 20 to 25 wings in that range. I never counted them, but I knew there was a lot of bones there.
Thanks for your questions and memories there. Any regrets in your career? I'm just sort of starting to wind things down a bit now. As you look back on things, your career, is there anything you would change? You've talked about what was your second season with the Clan. Is it a big regret? But in general terms, is there something you would change?
Not really. That's my only really regret in hockey was that season. Stats aside, it just was, I wasn't a happy person. I just wasn't, like Maddie could tell you, he probably held back a lot of things he could have said. Because that's the kind of guy he is. He's a great guy, but that is pretty much it. The rest of my time in England and in Scotland was awesome. Like I had a great time. That's why I came back every year. If I didn't like it, I would have went somewhere else, and you know, I did my thing. But just the people, their passion. You know, a lot of the countries I played in, they're kind of reserved. I like the upfront, asking you, telling you, cheering, yes, no, I like you, I hate you, that kind of thing. Because that's how fans should be. Like, you should care for your clubs. And England, well, obviously, in football, English football and Scottish football and all that, they're nuts. And the media and the fans, they let you have it. And I think that's the way sports should be. Nowadays, everybody is so sensitive about everything. Like, you're getting paid to play a professional sport. You got to be able to take this stuff. And I don't agree with how so many people just have such thin skin. But that's another reason why I loved it there. Like, they said what they felt. I took it. I said what I felt, and that was it. There was no grudges, no nothing. But I love the passion. I love going into Coventry when I played Nottingham and have people throwing beers at you. And that's what I think sports is. Obviously you don't want to get beers thrown on you, but I just love that atmosphere and sports. It's getting away from the rivalries and the passion. And I don't like where it's going right now. So my years there were the best that I've ever had, most fun. And other than that one little stint, I don't regret a single second.
So when you look back on the Jade Galbraith of 7, 8, 9 years ago, the guy that liked to party, likes a drink, we're seeing a very different Jade nowadays.
Way different. Way different. Just growing up, I was just young. I was just not, you know, yeah, I was just a boy. You know, I hadn't learned the world. Like, playing a sport too is, there's a lot of things you don't have to go through as a man growing up, working, having to provide for a family. And I never went through that. So now I have a family. Well, I have a wife. I have a little dog. I just started a company called Supreme Hockey Group. We're doing shooting analysis, consulting for kids, that kind of thing. And I could have never done that if I hadn't went through what I went through. But we're totally different people now. I'm still the same guy. I love to chat. I love to, you know, razz. I love picking on myself, picking on other people. I love that. Because, you know, why are we living if we don't want to have fun? But on the other side, you know, you got to grow up and you got to put other things ahead of yourself. And I found that I love it. I love actually being a grown up now. It's I feel more satisfied in life. It's better. I'm a happier person. But I couldn't have got here if I hadn't gone through all that stuff. So
I love your text all messages at 2 a.m. I love those.
Yeah. Text messages at 5 a.m.
Yeah. So when you talk about the attitude you've got to life now, you called yourself a grown-up. You've grown up now. Do you kind of wish you had that attitude 7, 8, 9 years ago when you were still playing?
I would have been a way better hockey player if I had my wife right now when I played. Everybody says a good woman helps you in more ways than you can even imagine, and she just gets me, you know, like we love each other. I have so much fun with her, my best friend. Everybody says that about their wives, but it truly is something that, you know, I took for granted. I had a whole bunch of great women that I met in Nottingham and Brayhead. You know, if I gave them a chance, maybe something would have been different, but I wish now I would have, you know, treated them a little better. You know, you get a bad reputation from hanging out at the bars all the time. But I just think if I did have my wife then, I would have been a better player, a better person. And I'd probably still be playing, to tell you the truth. But, you know, it is what it is. I'm happy now. And, yeah, no regrets.
So, Kevin, how should Jade be remembered then? We've got the great Jade of the first season, 100-plus points. Second season, riddled by injury, various issues that he's talked about. How should we remember him?
I think probably in much the same way as people will probably remember this podcast. An honest guy, a very entertaining player, and one of the great personalities that we've been lucky enough to see in our sport in the UK, and particularly at the Glasgow Clan.
Thank you, Kevin.
There we go. I don't think we could sum it up any better. Right, well, we'll draw an end to it there. Thank you so much for joining us on Clan Chat. A big thanks to Kevin, of course. Jade, great to have you on board. And a big thanks.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Joining us in the first
anytime.
The first half. Clan Classics this week, it's Glasgow Clan against Coventry Blaze from January 2020. Well, we'll have to believe that was still this year. That's live in our YouTube channel from 7 p.m. on Saturday, so get involved. Shirt off the back tickets are available as well. Chris Frank, Kyle Jones and Jordan Kristanovic jerseys are up for grabs, so get your tickets for that. Look out for all sorts of posts on Clan social media as well, or check out the website, clanihc.com. That's all from us this week, so my thanks again to Matt, to Kevin. Have a great week.
You too. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Great to have you on board, and that's all from us. Thank you for watching Clan Chat, and we'll see you again soon. Bye for now. Cheers.